You think you're a medieval knight.
Is he actually?
He is. Hold actually.
On. I'm pulling he's up a time traveler. It's still on knight. Here somewhere because I screened. It
I
was.
Mean, is he actually? Like, what are we?
What are we, children? Of course he's a
but
real
it's
knight.
Not like he's like a man with a disorder. No,
but that's the
kind.
Christmas movie I'm writing.
What the fuck is that?
It's a pun that they formed into a film. The Night Before
not
Christmas.
Even a pun.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I could have wrote that.
You should have.
Netflix, hit me up.
I mean, they don't need to. They already have it.
No. Oh, yeah. We're going to write another one where you think the entire movie that he is a knight that traveled, but it turns out he's just some psycho.
Yeah. That's what
like,
I would write.
Don Juan DeMarco. Remember that movie?
Yes.
Is he Don Juan? Is he just a crazy man? Turns out he's just a crazy man.
But he helps Marlon Brando fall back in love with his wife, doesn't he?
He does, yes.
And that's what matters.
Yeah.
That's the true story.
It was like the male version of Fried Green Tomatoes that fell so flat. Go. Just go.
Everyone knows those two movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is like when I said Method Man and you lost your shit laughing. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Such a huge age gap.
Sorry.
We do our best to make it seem like it's not. I think we're like usually on the same page, but sometimes we're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we don't know. I'm trying to be supportive, but like, what the hell is going on?
Have you ever seen Fried Green Tomatoes?
No.
It's such a lovely movie.
Is that?
Yes. Wait, there's somebody out there listening right now that's on my side.
Yeah.
Hello, you're listening to the Odd Sisters Podcast. I'm Marcy.
I'm Allison.
I'm Julia.
Allison is yawning.
Are you, or burping.
Are you
I don't
excited?
Know. Some sort of bodily yawning. Function.
I needed more oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what a yawn is, I assume. I've read things.
All right. What
this
are we talking about?
This happened last week with my Sgt. Pepper's episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was just like, I haven't even read
anything. Episode.
And we are so far off.
Netflix.
Track. Sgt. Pepper's episode. What the fuck is that? It's like a Doctor Who ripoff.
Yeah.
Julia's gonna have a meeting with Netflix where she just shouts random puns.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like shrugs and walks away.
Yeah.
This is as far as I get.
It'll be like Morty's meeting with Netflix. Yes. Just like, you know what? No. I don't want to do this anymore.
That episode. No. No, we can't. No. Okay.
We're already so off track.
We're going to talk about Christmas.
Oh,
it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. It is the holiday season.
Tis the season to be jolly and joyous.
Fa la la.
Yay.
And specifically, I'm going to talk about a couple holiday winter traditions and celebrations. Yeah. Sort
celebrations.
Of. Celebrations. Ways that people celebrate Christmas. From two places in Europe specifically, which I thought were just so much fun.
Okay.
But before we get into that, when I was looking at these holiday traditions, there's a whole bunch of them. And kind of like, depending on where you are in the world, like we've got the Christmas that is the, like obviously the shopping. And I would say Black Friday is probably a holiday tradition where you get to trample over people to buy presents for your kids.
Yeah.
And Fox News claiming there's a war on Christmas. And there really isn't. That can be kind of wrapped into the North American Christmas traditions.
Yeah.
That happens every year.
We should preface for anybody who's not Canadian, we have Black Friday sales and such, but they are quite pleasant.
Yeah, they're like, they're polite lineups.
Yeah. I mean, it's busy.
It is busy.
I accidentally went Black Friday shopping and it was nice.
Yeah. It's we have big sales and stuff. Not nearly to the extent that they do in the States.
It's
like they'll
really
be like $12,000 TV that's on for like $150 and people are like murdering each other for it. Yeah. But
I think it's weirder here because Black Friday in the States is right after their Thanksgiving. So it's like they have their long weekend, whereas our Thanksgiving is in October.
Yeah.
And it's over and done with.
Do you know the history of that for this?
I didn't look that up. Okay. But
so I think it was.
You're listening to Winging History with Marcy.
I think it was FDR, but he moved Thanksgiving. It used to be the last Thursday of the month, and he moved it to the second to last Thursday of the month so that it was further away from Christmas, so that people had a weekend and a holiday to shop on for Christmas.
I feel like we talked about this before, because there's that really confusing graphic in Holiday Inn
with the turkey
runs between the two dates, remember? And we just watched and we were like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah, because that was the first year when they changed it. So in the 40s. So he changed it so that people would have a weekend to go shopping. It was literally created for consumerism.
Wow. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Yes, I did think that.
What do you think he would think of that now with watching people get trampled and stuff like that?
I don't know. I mean, he won.
Yeah.
Victory.
FDR, flawless victory.
In the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I was gonna. No.
Nope.
Go. Just say anything so it leaves my head.
But I think Christmas is like. Clearly, Christmas is. I didn't mean speaking of the whole Fox News thing. Christmas technically is a Christian holiday. And when you're in the Christian, quote unquote, Christian part of the world, obviously that's when Christmas is celebrated and really, really big. But I mean, it technically isn't just that. It's almost like Christmas has kind of transcended into this, like more, I mean, I'm sorry, Christians, but it is kind of like a secular holiday. Like it's something when you live in North America specifically, I can't speak for the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I know so many people who are from all different backgrounds that still celebrate Christmas. I work with someone who is like very strict Muslim family. They still do a little Christmas thing because you get the day off. Everything around you is Christmas. They just kind of do their own Christmas thing. Obviously, it's not a baby Jesus celebration Christmas, but it's still.
But you know what? We never had that either.
No, exactly.
But once again, for winging it, history with Marcy.
This is my favorite side corner.
It's not mentioned in the Bible. It's not a in the Bible. There's no holy day that's mentioned besides the Sabbath.
Yes.
So Christmas isn't
Black
Sabbath.
It's the only Sabbath I know of.
It's the only Sabbath that matters. No, wait, sorry. Don't at me.
So the first recorded Christmas celebration ever took place during the reign of the Roman Emperor Constantine in the year 336.
Wow.
Prior to that year, Romans celebrated a different kind of winter celebration called Saturnalia. So this was
did you get that picture I sent you?
Yes, I did.
No, I'll show you later. We'll put it on our Instagram.
It was a huge winter celebration. It started on December 17th and it went through all the way to December 23rd. Quote, it was a time of ruckus, drinking, gambling, and overeating. It also included a gift-giving day that took place on December 19th. And they had one day where they, like, switched roles. So they would dress all their, like, servants and slaves up as, like, rich people. And then all the rich people would dress as the servants and slaves and, like, serve dinner to their servants.
Just
and, like...
I was going to say the exact same thing. I was going to be like, that's just fun.
It's just fun.
What
is that?
What you do. I've never said that before.
I don't think I have ever either.
That's just the vibe that sentence gave off.
It's just fun.
So all this drinking and overeating ended with the celebration of the winter solstice. Right. So according to historian Kenneth C. Davis, quote, most of the traditions that we have that relate to Christmas relate to the solstice, which was celebrated in ancient Rome on December 25th. So when Christianity became the official religion, in a sense, in Rome, they were able to fix this date. There's a little discrepancy about it, but there's no question that the fact that it was celebrated in Rome as an important day with gift-giving, candlelighting, and singing and decorating houses is why they chose to celebrate Christmas then.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, the celebration of Christmas in terms of the Christian thing is just, there's no specific day, but they are celebrating the birth of Jesus, but it's not like December 25th is his birthday.
Yeah.
It's not like a... yes. marked date. Gotcha. Of he was born this day. It's just they're using Saturnalia's. They stole the dates of Saturnalia to celebrate that he was born.
Increase your numbers.
Yeah. So
because if you have this super crazy festival and then you're like, but you should be Christian. And then you're like, yeah, but I really like this thing that we do. And then they're like, yeah, we do it too.
Yeah. So a lot of the Saturnalia traditions were like the gift giving thing, lighting trees. Like there's a whole bunch of other things that were incorporated into Christmas. I think the quote that I read is it specifically goes into the 12 days of Christmas celebration is actually from Saturnalia.
Oh.
So like the long celebration leading up to Christmas is kind of like what it is. And that Rome wasn't the only country that had that. So as Christianity spread into Europe, there's a whole bunch of Germanic people that had pagan religious beliefs, I guess what you'd call it. So and these pre-Christian countries, they also had winter celebrations. Which was called in the Germanic countries, this included England, they was called the Yule. Yule celebrations. Mm. Which we still use that word today. Mm-hmm. So
Yule log. It's always what I think of.
It came with the creepy old lady's hand. Yeah. Covered in rings.
Yeah.
So weird.
Like we would like lose and plaid. Is oh yeah, it is. It's like a hipster Christmas now. You know there's a beard attached to that that hand.
It'd be extremely disappointing if it wasn't.
Yeah, so they had their own thing. So the midwinter celebration was really important because it's celebrating the end of the harvest. They harvest all their everything they're growing in October, November, going into the winter. Winter was a crazy harsh time of the year. Lots of people died. It was really terrible. So they would do like a celebration. A lot of it was tied in with like life and death and
the sun's coming back
and all that sort of stuff. So I also read something that said that the any alcohol that people in that time would have been fermenting would have been ready by December 25th ish time period. So then they would start drinking too.
Same.
You're done fermenting?
I start drinking too.
And so like Saturnalia, a lot of
let's not talk about it though.
Like Saturnalia, a lot of these Yule traditions got wrapped up into Christmas. So
wrapped up
into Christmas.
Oh, you.
So basically if Christmas was
I'm laughing at Marcy's face. I'm not having like 5 minutes worth of laughter on my own joke, just to clarify.
No, she was.
I said, or sorry, I wrote here, basically, if Christmas was a cookie recipe, it would be one cup of Christian beliefs and a cup of pagan traditions with a dash of secularism to taste.
Oh, cute.
That's Christmas.
See?
So, two of these, like, Christmas traditions that I found. So there's things like, obviously, people know about Krampus. I think that's one of the weirdest, oddest Christmas traditions that's kind of gained new popularity. I'm not going to talk about Krampus. Maybe another episode. But I found a couple odd ones.
No.
From other countries that I feel like kind of tie into this weird kind of, maybe it might have some like pre-Christian pagan roots in it.
Yeah,
or maybe it's just people being weird, but I really liked them, so I thought I would share them. And I hadn't heard them before. Oh, but
I definitely haven't heard them then.
So the first one I have is called the Mary Luid.
Okay.
Mary Luid. It is a wayfaring folk custom from South Wales.
Ooh. Oh, so it might and be pronounced completely differently because it's Welsh.
I clicked a button, like a Google Translate button, and that's what it sounded like. But sometimes it's hard to hear the computer voices.
Yeah.
Mary Lude.
And you're like, great, it's super clear now.
Thanks for the help.
I always look things up on YouTube because it'll usually just be somebody.
Anyway. So
they curl their R's.
This tradition involves a group of men who go caroling house to house. One of the men in the group carries a horse skull mounted on a pole, like a giant, terrifying hobby horse. So love this man it. Also hides his body under a sackcloth so that he kind of looks like the creepy horse Grim Reaper. So the horse skull will also be decorated with Christmas baubles and ribbons because Christmas. You gotta make it fun for the kids. And the men accompanying the Mary Lloyd will dress in costumes. Kind of like it said, they kind of dress like stock characters like Punch and Judy. So, like, very, like, they kind of would dress like how the Muppets are dressed in the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
Like think of how Miss Piggy is dressed in that movie. Like, that's the type of, like, costume
they're wearing. Like the little bonnet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's kind of what they're doing. And so they will go house to house. They'll be singing songs. And the song that they sing is a song that is them requesting entrance into the house. And then the people in the house have to answer the door and sing a song back to them, denying them entrance. And then they have to reply asking for entrance. And it goes back and back and back and forth until either the carolers leave or the family gets tired of them and they have to make them leave by giving them, like, food or drinks or money. Or they have they.
I don't like this game.
I like it. I was just thinking how we should do this.
No.
According to an anonymous internet person, this was a quote that I found.
Solid.
They said it was like a what is the Mary Lewd? And this was their answer was a faking horse monstrosity enters your house unless you sing into it until it fucks off.
Accurate. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
So the earliest record of the Mary Lewd appeared.
I would love that person to just paraphrase, like, all Christmas traditions.
You put a fucking tree up and you put some fucking lights on it.
Give me a box with wrapping paper on it.
This inside, fucking guy comes fucking and garbage. Eats all your fucking cookies, drinks all your fucking milk.
So the earliest record of the Mary Lewd appeared in 1800s in J. Evans. This is the name of his book, and it's great. A tour through part of North Wales in the year 1798 and at other times.
All right.
So this is what he wrote. A man on New Year's Day dressing himself in blankets and other trappings with the fictitious head like a horse and a party attending him, knocking for admittance. This obtained, he runs around the room with an uncommon frightful noise, with the company quite in real or pretend fright. They soon recover, and by reciting a verse from some coward, like that's a poem, or in default paying a small gratuity, they gain admission.
Coward.
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 Coward?
Mowage.
And then he wrote about this again in 1804 in his work Letters Written During a Tour Through South Wales in the year 1803.
And other times. No! Shut up! What the hell? It's a series.
In this one, he provided a clearer discussion than before, making it apparent that teams accompanying the man dressed as a horse or bull toured the local area from Christmas until after Twelfth Day, and that they were given food or money to leave the householders alone. So this is still going on. I found that in 2000, a town in Wales called... Aberystwyth? Aberystwyth?
Ooh.
Sorry. They organized the world's largest Mary Lewd for the millennium.
Oh, no.
So they gained, like, the biggest party of people to
Is
go
there a photo?
Singing. I got a picture.
Oh, no.
It's you can kind of see the man hiding under the sheet and the big giant.
Oh, wow.
Spooky horse head. It's got Christmas baubles for eyes.
I don't like this. Oh, I don't like this at all.
I like it a lot. I'm into it. I just like I like the thought of them like pretending to be like they're like waiting for him to show up and he comes in. They're like, oh, yeah.
You gotta.
Here's your money. Get out of here, you
but
little
how,
scam.
Marcy, specifically, how would you feel if you're like enjoying your like Christmas time baking cookies and a bunch of men knock on the door and that horse thing is there and they're just singing like, let us into your house, and then you have to sing back at them to tell them to go away?
I don't have to do nothing.
Otherwise they come in and they run around your living room.
I lock the door.
You could just do what we spend most of our lives doing when we were kids and just hide whenever the doorbell rings.
You stand still until they leave.
This is definitely a tangent, but my friend was over once when I was quite young and I had to teach them what you do when the UPS man comes and like rings your doorbell is you hide. And they were like, why don't we just answer the door? I was like, you don't answer the door.
There's somebody on the other side.
Exactly.
You stand still.
They want my dad's signature. And guess what? I'm not my dad. So it's going to be awkward. We might as well just hide.
What? We're talking about you having social skills before.
Yeah.
Maybe that was something we told her to do.
Maybe. Maybe.
Now, Julia, as the youngest,
you gotta hide.
You gotta hide.
All right. So, the other super fun Christmas tradition that I have is a Christmas tradition that is very old. It's like a Yule thing, but it goes into modern times and is a very fun modern tradition.
Oh.
So
wait, we ended on Marcy's not going to let them in.
No, that's Marcy's not letting him in the house. Marcy is like freezing like a skeleton, like stone statue.
Yeah.
Skeleton. Skeletons freeze.
Skeleton stone statue.
The words weren't in my head.
That's a lot of stuff that doesn't move, to be fair.
Standing still.
Three solid examples.
Yes. I knew if I just kept saying words with S, they would come to me eventually. Statue was the one I wanted. Skeleton. No.
Again,
stone.
All,
no.
All three are somewhat applicable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry.
Okay.
That's the next one
creepy.
Is.
I don't like that.
The horse.
I don't like the singing either, to be honest.
I know.
The whole thing is definitely a deal breaker.
Carolers is something that I've never been able to
no.
support in any way.
Have you ever had to go?
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have.
I definitely would have
protested
out of that.
I think I sang once at like an old folks home. Not by myself. With a choir. and that was awkward enough.
Yeah.
All right. So the Yule goat's origins goes back to an ancient pagan festival. So, well, a popular theory is that the celebration of the goat is connected to the worship of the Norse god Thor, who rode the sky in a chariot drawn by two goats named, oh, fuck, Trangrisner and
oh, God.
Tag, oh, my God, there's so many consonants. Tagnogjoster? Sure. You don't know. It goes back to common Indo-European beliefs. So, the last sheaf of grain bundled in the harvest was credited with magical properties as the spirit of the harvest and saved for a Yule celebration. So, the Yule goat is it's a little goat-shaped thing. They mm-hmm. still hang them on Christmas trees in a lot of European countries, and it's made out of wheat. Like, it's made out of, like, long grass. Like, it's a little, like,
braided goat-shaped
thing. So the function of the Yule goat has differed throughout the ages in Scandinavian customs, similar to the English tradition of wassailing, held at either Christmas or the Epiphany. I don't know what the Epiphany is. That word's just in there. So young men
that's
in costumes.
That's a day. I remember seeing on a calendar and being like, what the fuck is that?
Young men in costumes would walk between houses singing songs, enacting plays, and performing pranks. This tradition is known from the 17th century and still continued in certain areas. The group of Christmas characters would often include someone dressed as a Yule goat.
I think that the Epiphany is when the wise men get there.
Oh. And they went, we found you.
I'm sure that's what it is, because like he's born and then they show up and they give the gifts.
Okay.
Just looking it up to confirm.
And they went, you guys really are good at hide and seek, but we got here. We found you.
Okay, keep going.
So that someone would be dressed as a Yule goat, which was a rowdy creature that would demand gifts from people.
Okay.
And then during the 19th century, the Yule goat, his role changed, and he became someone who would show up and give Christmas gifts.
He had a change of heart.
Yeah. And there was a tradition where someone in the family would dress up as the Yule goat. How sometimes your drunk uncle dresses up as Santa Claus, and they would like show up and give. You got it?
I was right.
So someone would dress up as the Yule goat and give presents to kids. And so, like I said before, it's a very common Christmas ornament still. There's little ones that people hang on their Christmas trees, or there's bigger, kind of like, I don't know what's a good definition of a size. But there's like bigger ones, not giant, but like teddy bear size ones that'll sit underneath the Christmas tree.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'll let you. I feel like I know where this is going to go.
So,
you know where it's going to go?
The gavel goat is erected annually in Slottstroget, which translates to castle square, in Gavel, Sweden. My Swedish pronunciation is great. Just don't worry about it. So it started in 1966. The first person that built it was an advertising consultant named Stig Gavlin. He came up with the idea of making a giant version of this traditional Swedish Yule goat and placing it in the square. So construction of the goat was carried out by the fire department.
Construction of the goat.
And it was 13 meters or 43 feet tall and 7 meters or 23 feet long. It weighed 3 tons. So it was erected in the square around Christmas time. And on New Year's Eve, the goat was burnt down. So...
on purpose?
Well, the gavel goat survived the 2 following years. The burning of the 1966 goat sparked a new holiday tradition. Destroy the gavel goat.
Oh.
So the goat was burned down again in 1969 and in 1970. In 1971, it was smashed to pieces.
Oh
my God. In 1972, it collapsed. And in 1973, it was stolen. Don't know where it went. It just disappeared. I don't know
what
who
a
steals
heist.
A 14-foot goat, but
you son
it,
of a
it
bitch.
Was stolen.
I'm in.
In 1974, it was set on fire again, and the 1975 goat collapsed. The 1976 goat was hit by a car. The 1977 goat was set on fire again. It was, quote, kicked to pieces in 1978, and in 1979... quote, after the first goat was burned, the second fireproof goat was erected only to be broken into pieces. This continued into the 80s. In 1988, 82, 84, 85, 86, 87, and 89, the goat was destroyed by fire. So was the 1991, 92, 95, 98, and 99 goats.
Wow.
In 2000, the goat was thrown into the Gavel River. And in 2001, the goat was set on fire. As was the 2003.
I like how every once in a while they change it up. Yeah. Like, we've done 7 years of burning. We should probably throw this in the river or something, right?
Smash it with a car.
Yeah.
The 2003.
That one sounded tragic, actually. That one was a bit disturbing.
Yeah. 2003, 2004, 2005, 08, 09, 2011, 12, 13, 15, 16.
All fire?
Goats all destroyed by fire. In 2018, the goat was guarded by fencing, cameras, and guards, and they put a taxi rank there to increase the number of people. This is from Wikipedia. The goat was inaugurated on December 2nd. An attempt to burn attempted burning occurred on the night of December 15th, resulting in minor damage to its left front leg.
Why do they keep erecting it?
The Twitter account recorded 2 incidents, an unspecified harassment on the December 7th and an intrusion into the goat's enclosure on the 31st.
I'm sorry.
1st of December.
Harassment. No, I was going to say the Twitter account?
Yeah.
For the goat?
I think it's for the city.
Oh, okay. I'm on fire! He says that every year.
Yeah, and then there was... someone they caught someone in the enclosure on December 31st, but when they walked up to him, he just said he needed to use the toilet. So who knows, but the 2018 goat survived.
Oh wow.
Whoa. Did it stop? I guess it's 2019.
It's 2019. We have
okay
to
sorry
wait.
When does it usually happen?
It happens like around some sort of specific holiday that had something to do with the religious calendar, but sometime around Christmas.
Okay. I don't think I've ever heard you make that noise. So either.
I tried to look it up, but it was boring.
Oh wow, it's actually really pretty.
It's really cute, right?
Yeah,
the people keep burning it.
I love that the 2018 goats survived. He lived to tell the tale.
Oh, it is really pretty.
But seriously, what the fuck?
That's amazing.
So those are my 2 very weird Christmas traditions.
Those are odd. Oh, so I thought it was gonna go because
it looks pretty flammable.
Pull Thor in a chariot, and then I thought it was gonna be the tradition of like where Santa and the reindeer came in.
Probably. I looked into Santa. It's hard because I mean,
is Thor Santa. Also, I think it's weird that Thor. I think it's weird that Thor, like as magnificent as he is pulled by 2 goats, right? Like,
agreed.
That's...
Yeah, I looked into Santa, but it's weird because, I mean, there's, if you want to talk about, like, differences in different countries, Santa's totally different in so many countries. Like, the whole Krampus thing, sometimes Krampus is associated with Santa.
Yes, totally.
There's some other, like, horrific blackface character that's associated with him in Holland. There's our Santa, there's Father Christmas, there's Saint Nicholas. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of
Yeah, I know. That could be its own thing altogether.
Yeah,
totally. Anyway, that was crazy. I'm really excited to hear what happens to the goat this year.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to follow the city on Twitter.
You mean the goat?
The goat.
We're gonna have to make its own account.
But that's a lot of that. It just went on, and like I was at the point where
I just don't understand.
The article I read was
it.
Like, it keeps getting set on fire, and I was like, yeah, like probably like five times, and I was like, oh my god,
it really keeps getting
set on fire.
What, was it like 30? No, how many years?
The first one was 1966.
Oh wow.
And the next two, no one did it, but then the fourth year, someone was like, back at it, let's burn this thing again.
Burn the motherfucker.
That's amazing. Well, now it's just a tradition.
Yeah. It always burns down.
Or like the smashed to pieces. Yeah. How many people are doing
a lot.
That?
That's big. Like it looks.
It's huge.
You told us how big it is, but it looks big too. Like in the picture, when you look at it, you're like, the angle and everything, you're like, it's huge.
Definitely flammable though.
Just imagine like super people flammable. Like all over it.
Yeah.
Like a just World War Z-esque,
tearing it apart.
Just like, yeah. That's incredible. Wow.
My life is forever changed.
Yeah. Hey, do we have an email?
we do.
It's organized.
Yeah.
What is it?
Oddsisterspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Well, we're also on Twitter at oddsisterspodcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on
Instagram, same thing.
No, sorry. Twitter, we're just the Odd Sisters.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Instagram, we're the Odd Sisters podcast.
Yeah.
So find us on there and let us know if you have any other weird traditions in your part of the world, because I had no idea about either of those, and they both are so strange.
Yeah. Also, like, were you someone who helped burn down one of those?
Yes,
I'd love to know how you did that. Actually, no. How you smashed it to pieces.
Yeah,
that interests me more.
The smashing is. But also, if
smashing.
It was
sorry, I had to.
If it's that big, the car one doesn't make any sense. Like, it was hit by a car.
Well, it probably just took out its legs.
Yeah. Yes. And then it just went.
Yeah.
It's a great image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in a horror movie.
Were
like,
you?
Oh no!
Yeah. Were you there? I want like a first person account of what this is like.
Yeah.
Because that's incredible.
That's
And we will be watching,
because it really seems like 15% of this country is still living in like the Wicker Man, where they're like,
that's exactly.
Burn it down.
Like, yeah,
that's great, that's amazing.
Appease the Christmas gods.
Fuck. Okay, thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.